The sky proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chambers, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults, but keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray. Jesus, we look out, and the nature does scream forth with your words. It proclaims your glory so loud and so clear. We see the beauty of it. We see the changing seasons. We see everything. It functions together so well that proclaims there is a master designer. And then we come to a place of Calvary. And there we see the heart of the master designer, one who'd give himself for us, master of all, creator of all, but one who knows us by name. May we worship you this day in all of your glory, and may we experience an overwhelming presence of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Trudy, would you come? Did you have a message, announcement? I forgot, Joel. Come on up front, Joel. You need to sit right here, Joel, so I can.
I was closer to you this time.
You were close.
The last time. Okay. This time I wrote down everything I had to say to you. Okay, the minister did say that today's the last day to sign up for the barbecue. The list is right there if you want to sign up for it. Okay, the church doors downstairs will be opened to bring your baked goods in on Friday after classes close between 3 o'clock and 3:30. Just bring them in and put them into the fellowship hall. Help will be needed to package the baked goods, and I will be at the church at 6 o'clock p.m. I ask that all items be marked with what you made, as we will also be labeling all the packages. If your items have nuts in them, please identify it as whether it's peanuts or walnuts so that we can mark that on your packages. Pies and small cakes should be in disposable pans or containers that you do not want to be given back to you. Maybe you have extra pie plates and things and you want to get downsized. Just put them in them and we'll just let them go like that. Okay. 9x13 cakes will be cut down and packaged. So mark your cakes if it's chocolate cake with white icing, chocolate cake with peanut butter icing, mark it. And also identify your pans so that we can make sure you get your right pans back. The barbecue will be able to be picked up while we're at the church at 6 o'clock so that if you ordered barbecue, come and get it, pay for it. If you cannot pick it up, please make arrangements with me, Martha, or even Carol. Let them know if you need to pick it up later. Saturday morning, we will meet at the church at 6:30 to package everything into our vehicles. That's tables, whatever we need, and the baked goods to take to our booth site in Millersburg. We ask that you pray for a clear and a warm day so that we can just enjoy ourselves. And I'm thanking everybody in advance for your contributions and your help at this time. Thank you very much.
What time will the doors be open to bring baked goods? Between what and what?
Between 3 and 3:30 on Friday.
Oh,
no, it'll be open until...
From 3 to 6,
we'll be there at 6 o'clock. So the doors will be open from 3 o'clock until we close them after we package everything. So just bring your baked goods, your whatever it is. It can be pretzels with chocolate. It can be cheese. It can be whatever you want to donate toward this. And again, the all... 100% of the proceeds will go to the Northern Human Service, Dolphin Human Services weekend lunch program, 100%. Okay? Thank you.
To ask you to stand as we join in worship, number 91, hymn number 91. Thank you. together, we're going to continue our worship, worshiping in the presence of our wonderful Savior and the power of His love.
Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the place that I found in you. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see. Will
Seated. How many of you here remember the TV show a number of years ago called MacGyver? Did any of you watch MacGyver? MacGyver was kind of connected with the CIA, but he wasn't, but kind of. But MacGyver, he had a commitment. He would never carry a gun. But he had the ability to take ordinary stuff around him and turn it into phenomenal things. So he'd get captured, and somehow he'd put things together and blow a door up from all this stuff he finds around him. And next week, our last sermon in this series we're doing of healing a damaged emotion, in a sense, is going to be about a MacGyver and how God wants to take all of our broken pieces and he puts them into something beautiful. Every one of us in this room have broken pieces. Every one of us in this room have regrets. Every one of us in this room have scars. And when they're placed in the hands of the Master, he takes those and he reforms them and he creates something wonderful from our broken pieces. And my prayer is for next Sunday is that it would be the climax of this whole series. And we, all of us, begin to discover in a new way how God can use us and put those pieces together. You know, we talk about forgiveness, and forgiveness is, I think, God forgiving me is kind of the easy thing of the equation. The hard part is for me to forgive myself all those broken pieces. And we sang about that today. Listen to this. From the song we sang, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues." You know, we know he forgives our sins, but verse 4 says this, something even, I think, more powerful. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He breaks the power that all my yesterdays have upon me. As we go to prayer, I want us to begin to prepare our hearts for next week, that we may discover anew that power of Jesus Christ to break the power of canceled sin, that power of Jesus Christ to take people like you and me with our handicaps, with our pains, with our scars, with our brokennesses, and when they're put into his hands, how we can use them in such a tremendous way. Let's pray. Jesus, these last few months we've been looking at hurts. And there are scars there from yesterday. Some are from things that other people have done to us. Some are because of foolish things we have done to ourselves. And some just because of life happening. And when we think about all those things that have gone on, and some of those things in our closets, that none of us, we want to keep those doors closed. When we think about all those, we really begin to be confused how you can really use us. But your grace goes beyond forgiveness. It goes into what we want to call recycling grace, and taking brokenness and creating something new and beautiful and powerful and useful out of it. Father, we pray you begin to prepare our hearts for that. That we can begin to come to a point to open the doors of our closets, all those hidden skeletons, to drag them all out and just lay them at the feet of Jesus and allow you to begin a tremendous transformation within our lives. You have predestined that the work of your kingdom is to be done by broken people, not by angels, but by broken people. But what a powerful witness to those who are hopeless, when they begin to see in us how you take our brokenness and you used it. And what a hope that can give, that my yesterdays cannot destroy me. My foolish mistakes have not ruined me. The scars of other people upon me have not beaten me down. But your grace is stronger, much stronger, and can transform. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go out.
Say it real loud.
Say it real loud. Hey, Daddy, let's go sledding.
Sure, Bob. Let's go, bud.
Hey, come on. Bring it out. Here, hold on.
Bobby sure does love to go sledding. Hey, Bob, did you know that this summer our church is going to have a very special Polar Blast Vacation Bible School? And you're going to have a great time doing icy cool activities and learning that each and every day that God loves you. There's going to be singing, playing games, doing icy crafts, and having some icy adventures. What do you say?
Let's go swimming.
Let's say. What time? What day is it? When is it?
When is it?
I'm glad you asked. It's going to be June 15th and June 16th here at Free Grace from 9 to 12 each day. Should we go? Put your feet up. Whee! What do you say? Everybody come. All right.
Sharing your grace. May each one of our young folks today in Children's Church tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, learn more about you. Just how precious they are. And we pray, Lord, that you just prepare them for vacation Bible school, and you just encourage them to bring friends, to have fun, and to learn about you. And all the kids said, amen. Okay. Want to say bye-bye to Pastor Penguin?
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Robert. Okay, head on out. Most of us in here are familiar with the work of the Gideons, but it's always good to hear it again. Unfortunately, things have changed over the years, but I remember when I was in elementary school, every year the Gideons show up, and if we didn't have a Bible, they gave us a Bible. You go to a hotel room, if you had nothing to do and nothing to read, you look over on the table there, and you'll find a Bible, and you'll see the Gideons. Ken, we look forward to you telling us some more stories of how God is using the Gideons to get the word out there. And lives can be transformed as they hear more and more about the word of about Jesus Christ as they read his word. Ken, come.
It's a real privilege for me to be with you folks representing the Gideons International, and I would like to thank Pastor Chuck and those of your church organization that are responsible for inviting the Gideons to be able to come and share with you today. I'd also like to thank all of you because I know that your church has been very supportive of the Gideon ministry, and I want to let you know that as a result of your prayers and financial support, there's a lot of people around the world received a copy of the Word of God and came to know Christ as their personal Savior, and we thank you very much. I'd like to share with you a little bit more about the Gideon ministry, but before we do that, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come to your house and worship. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for what you've done for us on the cross. We pray that you could help us to proclaim the gospel message in the life we live, the words that we speak, and we ask that you would just bless this church and help them to proclaim the gospel to those in this community, that many people might come to know you as their personal Savior. We pray that the things that are said and done here this morning would bring honor and glory to your name, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a little fellow got up one morning and went down to his mom and he said, Mom, is it true that people were made from dust and that when they die, they return to dust? She said, Son, that's correct. You'll find that in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. He said, well, this morning when I got up there under my bed on the floor, there was either someone coming or someone going. Well, I suspect that is a little difficult to tell. And you know, parents can have a significant influence on the lives of their children. I know my parents did in my life. I remember my mom made sure that we were ready to go to church and Sunday school on Sunday. I remember mom reading Bible stories just when we were kids. Taught us how to pray. You see, when I was a youngster, I knew about God. There was no question in my mind as to where I came from. I knew about creation. I knew about Adam and Eve. I knew about Noah, the flood. I knew about David and Goliath. I knew about Jesus. I knew about the cross, the resurrection. I had a Sunday school teacher that said, Ken, if you learn the Ten Commandments, I will buy you a Bible. So I learned the Ten Commandments, and I got my own Bible. I had another Sunday school teacher that just bought Bibles for everyone in the whole Sunday school class. When I was in school, the Gideons came around passing out testaments, right in the classroom, by the way. And I got my testament from the Gideons. So there I was, a kid. I had two Bibles. I had my own testament. I could do with them whatever I wanted to. I could put them on the shelf and let them collect dust, or I could read them. And do you know, as a youngster, I had opportunity after opportunity to give my life to Christ. And I thank God that I did. That was the wisest decision I ever made. Christ cleansed my entire life from the inside out. It's what happens when Christ comes into a person's life. But you know that there are literally millions of people around the world that don't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some time ago, I spoke with a pastor who was in the Ukraine. He visited a congregation there of 250 people. In that congregation, they had one Bible for 250 people. Now, at least these were the church people, so they had the opportunity to hear the preacher preach from the Word of God. But what about the people outside of the church? These people have never heard anything about Jesus. They never heard that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, that is not a minor misfortune. That is a major tragedy to think that people would live their entire lives, die in their sins, and go to hell never knowing that Christ provided a way that they could have their sins forgiven. But you and I can help some of these people to receive a copy of God's word through the Gideon ministry. And I think that Isaiah 55:11 describes why we should be interested in distributing God's word. Isaiah 55:11 states, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Now, the first portion of that verse says that the word of God would not return unto him void. That means if we're willing to get out there and distribute God's word, we can expect guaranteed positive returns from the word of God. Second portion of that verse says that the word of God would accomplish that which he pleases. Well, what is it that God would want to accomplish through his word? I certainly think he'd want us to know about his plan of salvation. It says in 2 Peter 3:9 that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, God's word provides us with direction for living, moral standards, if you will. Moral standards only come from the word of God. You do not get moral standards from Time Magazine, U.S. News and World Report, the New York Times, or any other magazine or newspaper. Moral standards only come from the word of God. And when you have trials, tests, temptations, you can go to the word of God for help. You can rely on God's word to help you through those rough spots. God's word gives us a hope for a better tomorrow. It shows us the way to eternal life. The word of God does all of these things and so much more. In fact, of all the reading material that ever passes through your household, you'll not read a more important book than the Bible. Last portion of that verse says that the word of God would prosper wherever it's sent. And folks, that's what the Gideons do best. We print and distribute the word of God here in the United States and throughout the world. And we do not do this ministry alone. Even though we have a membership of more than 250,000 businessmen and professionals, we need the help of the churches. We are missionaries sent out by the church. All of our membership comes from the churches. A lot of our finances come from the churches. And with the help of the 210,000 churches across America, we can make a major difference in the lives of literally millions of people around the world. For you see, the Gideons do have a wide variety of ministries. Number one, Gideons are encouraged to do personal witnessing. And witnessing to someone and giving them a copy of the word of God, it's a good way of telling them you care about them. You care about what's happening in their life. You care about their spiritual well-being. There was a Gideon who gave a testament, like the one I'm holding in my hand, to a Buddhist priest. He said, "This is the word of the living God. Read it and believe in Jesus." Well, at first that Buddhist priest was offended because he didn't want anything to do with this Christianity stuff. But you know, the Holy Spirit prompted that man to read the testament. Through reading the word of God, he gave his life to Christ. He led his father to Christ, and he went on to become a minister of the gospel, all because someone cared enough about him to simply provide him with a copy of God's word. See, God's word will not return unto him void. Now, perhaps the most familiar to you would be our scripture placement ministry, where we place Bibles in hotels, motels, doctor's offices, and other public institutions where we're allowed to place the word of God. And there's literally thousands of people who have received Christ as their Savior and received spiritual help as a result of this ministry. There's a man by the name of Dale Watson. He was a traveling salesman. He was on drugs. He was an alcoholic. He lost his job. Things were not going well for him. And he decided that he was going to end it all. He was going to commit suicide. And it all planned out. He got up one morning and he started out for Jacksonville, Florida. On his way to Jacksonville, he stayed in a motel in Savannah, Georgia. When he got into the motel room, there on the nightstand lay a Bible placed by the Gideons. He picked it up and he started to read it. Through reading the word of God, he decided, well, you know, maybe life is worthwhile living. He didn't make a firm commitment to Christ at that time, but you know, when he would stay in the hotels and motels, he would continue to read the word of God. He went back home, he got his job back, and things started to go pretty well for Mr. Watson, until one day he was involved in a very serious accident. He nearly lost his life. He kind of sat back and took a look at his life and decided, you know, I need to have my sins forgiven. I need to know Christ as my personal Savior. And since he had been reading the word of God, he knew how to do that. He knew how to give his life to Christ. Today, Mr. Watson is serving God as a pastor. You know, he's very thankful for the availability of the word of God in the hotels and motels. We also place Bibles, by a side note, the Bibles that are taken out of the hotels and motels, they go directly to prison for the rest of their natural life, there to be used by the inmates, because we do try to get the most out of the Word of God. We also provide testaments for hospitals, convalescent homes, nursing homes, and rest homes throughout the country. And you know, people in these institutions not only have physical needs, they also have spiritual needs. And it says in Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Is there a better place to find rest than in the Word of God? I don't think so. There was a man by the name of W.F. Thompson. He was shot 3 times during the robbery of his business. They had taken Mr. Thompson to the hospital, and the doctors informed his wife that there was really nothing more that they could do for him, that it would be a short period of time, and he would be going out into eternity. Well, the Lord had different plans for Mr. Thompson. 3 days later, he woke up, and there by his side lay one of these Gideon Testaments. He picked it up, and he started to read it, and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mr. Thompson made this statement. He said, "You know," he said, "if I would have died in that hospital," he said, "I would have gone to hell for the simple reason I did not know Christ as my personal Savior." Ladies and gentlemen, every one of us are in the same situation. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we would all be eternally lost. Everyone should know the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone should have a copy of the Word of God. Do we have any nurses here this morning? Yes, we do have one or two or three or four nurses here this morning. We provide testaments for those in the field of nursing and in the medical profession. And this ministry is carried on by the auxiliary. Now, the auxiliary are the wives of the Gideons, and they form an association for prayer and for personal witnessing, and they're solely responsible for the medical testament ministry. We appreciate what our wives do in the Gideon ministry. Do we have any veterans here? Yes, we have at least one or two veterans. We provide testaments for all of the branches of the armed forces, and it's this camouflage testament that I'm holding in my hand here. Now, you probably can't see it because it is camo, so you may have to trust me on this one. And, you know, when I think of the armed forces, I think of the awesome weapons of war. You know, the tanks, the fighter bombers, the artillery. And perhaps you saw on TV where they dropped this bomb in Afghanistan. I think it was called an MOB, the mother of all bombs. One of the largest bombs that was ever dropped. Maybe it was destruction everywhere. It was a large area that was destroyed by this bomb. Awesome display of power. But you know that is a drop in the bucket compared to the power of the Word of God. It says in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Folks, the Word of God can look into our innermost being and see what's inside of us. The Word of God can convict us of sin. The Word of God can meet our spiritual needs. And, you know, war is a very sobering thing. A soldier goes out to battle, he can't help but think, if I would lose my life in this battle, where would I spend eternity? And you know, there was a lot of soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan that asked that very question. And I thank God that we were able to provide them with a testament that has the plan of salvation in the back and it has helps in the front, that they can have spiritual help with them at all times on the battlefield. And I had a number of soldiers come up to me in services after the service and say, "Ken, you know, I had one of those testaments and I used to carry it with me wherever I went." And I thought about that. You know, what a good thing to have as part of your attire than the Word of God. In Ephesians 6 chapter, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God, and part of that armor was the Word of God. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, Jesus was taken up into a high mountain. He was tempted of the devil. With every one of them temptations, he said some particular thing. What was it? He said, "It is written," didn't he? He went to the Word of God. You know why he did that? I don't think he did it for our benefit or for his benefit. I think he did it for our benefit, that we might know that when we have trials, when we have tests, when we have temptations, we can rely on God's word to help us through those rough spots. Now, we also provide testaments for the various school districts, and we try to do these distributions in a 5th and a 6th grade so that we might reach every student that would pass through a given school district. However, it's becoming increasingly difficult to get into the schools. In fact, in most cases, we have to be off the school property on the sidewalk to distribute the Word of God. Now, that's very sad when you think about it. Did you know that statistics indicate that more than 80% of all the people that ever accept Christ as their personal Savior do so before the age of 16? Now, that means that you can pass your Christian values on to your children. You can teach them the Word of God. And yet, there's a movement about today that says, you know, we really shouldn't stifle the development of our kids and try to fill their heads with our old-fashioned Christian values. Let them make their own decisions. Let them make up their own mind. Folks, that is totally erroneous. Think about it. How do you make decisions? You make decisions based on the things that you know. Well, how do you know what you know? You know what you know by the books you read, the people you meet, the experiences you have in life, the things that you learn at home, the things you learn here at church. Therefore, I submit to you that it is imperative that we diligently teach our children the Word of God, that when it comes time for them to decide who they might serve, they might say with Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Folks, our young people represent the future of America, and we should make sure that the Word of God plays a vital part in shaping their future. Now, kids don't stay kids forever. They grow up, and some of them would go off to college. And when you went to college, the Gideons were there passing out testaments. They have a green testament that has John 3:16 printed in it in 26 different languages. There was a man by the name of Howard Mintz. He graduated from a high school in Miami, Florida, and he had a scholarship to a college in North Dakota. When he got there, he kind of got in the wrong crowd. He got on drugs. He lost his scholarship, and he didn't know which way to turn. And one day, the Gideons came, and they were passing out these green testaments at his college, and Howard avoided these guys like the plague because, you see, Howard was a Jew and didn't want anything to do with the New Testament. But it seems that everywhere that Howard went that day, there were these Gideons passing out these green testaments. So he thought, I'll take one of these things, get these guys off my back, and I'm home free. So that's what he did. He said, I won't have to read this thing. But during one of his more depressing moments, Howard decided to read that testament. Through reading the Word of God, he gave his life to Christ. He went on to the Moody Bible Institute to prepare for Christian service. And you know, Howard is not an isolated case. A lot of young people were asking some of the very same questions that Howard was asking. Like, why am I here? What's my function in life? What's my relationship with God? What is life all about anyway? Look, those questions are not answered by the occults. They're not answered by transcendental meditation. Those questions are answered in the Word of God. Finally, we have ministries in 200 countries around the world, and we print the Word of God in over 100 different languages. Now, the methods of distribution are similar to that here in the United States. And folks, in most of the world, the Word of God is not available. There is a drought of the Word of God. And there are literally thousands of people every day die and go to hell, never knowing that Christ provided a way that they could have their sins forgiven. And we need to see that. It says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Ladies and gentlemen, the Gideons have a vision. We'd like to see the Word of God in the hands of every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world. We'd like to give you the opportunity to help. Say, well, how can I help? What can I do? Actually, there's a lot that you can do. Number one, you can pray for the Gideons. It says in James 5:16 that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you remember King Hezekiah? The Lord told him that he'd better get his house in order because he was going to be checking out. Well, the Bible says Hezekiah prayed, and the Lord added 15 years to his life. The Lord is in the business of answering prayer. Therefore, we covet your prayers on behalf of the Gideon ministry. If you're a businessman or a professional and you'd like to join the Gideons, if you'd see me after the service, I would see that you get the information that you need to join the Gideons. Or better yet, I understand you have five Gideons here in your church. Seek one of the five Gideons, and they could help you to join also. Or perhaps maybe you would like to be a friend of the Gideons. They have a program now where you can be a prayer partner, you can be a financial partner, and that gives you the opportunity to purchase testaments, and you can do scripture distributions on your own, do personal witnessing with the testaments. You can also help by inviting us back on an annual basis that we might share with you and you with us, that we might continue to reach the masses of people around the world that need to know Christ as their personal Savior. You can help through purchasing Bibles through the Gideon Card Program. In the back of your church, there is a Bible display that has these three cards in it. It has an in-memory card, it has an in-recognition card, and it has a thinking of you card. It also has a self-addressed envelope that tells you how to use this program. This is a very easy program to use. Let's say, for example, you would like to donate Bibles in memory of a loved one. You simply take an in-memory card out of the Bible display, and on the inside it has in memory of whatever your loved one's name is, the number of Bibles that you'd like to donate. Your name and address goes below here, and you put it in the white envelope and send it to your loved one. You then take the self-addressed envelope and follow the instructions on the inside, put your check in it, and send it to the Gideons, and they will place the Bibles where they're needed most. The Thinking of You program works exactly the same way. It may be used for people that are having a hard time or you'd like to let them know you're thinking about them. You could donate Bibles. The In Recognition program, again, works exactly the same way, and it can be used for anniversaries, birthdays, or some special occasion. Or maybe someone in your church did something and you'd like to just recognize them. You can use the In Honor card to do that. There's a lot of good reasons to donate Bibles. Namely, people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And you know, if you go to buy a card costs you could cost you $5 or $6. One Bible costs $5, and the cards are free. So why not donate Bibles and use the Gideon card program? We would appreciate it, and the people that receive a copy of God's Word, they'd appreciate it even more. You can also help through your financial contributions. All the finances that are given to the Gideons by churches and individuals goes for printing and distributing the Word of God. Where you see, all Gideons are required to pay their own expenses, plus we pay dues on an annual basis. So that means that all the finances that are given by churches and individuals goes for printing and distributing the Word of God. In your bulletin insert, there is a self-addressed envelope that you can use to donate if you would like to do that. You can take that home with you if you'd like to do that. Also, on the back, there is a square code in the lower right-hand corner of the bulletin insert that if you have a smartphone, you could scan that and donate to the Gideons. That's incredible, isn't it? I have a dumb phone, so it doesn't work for me. So I would encourage you to help one of the Gideons in one of the ways that I mentioned. And, you know, for the Lord, the Bible says that the God's word will not return unto him void. And God's word will accomplish that which he pleases. And the word of God is powerful. It says in Jeremiah 23:29, it says, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces?" Folks, the word of God is the most important gift that you can give to someone to help them through life. Last year, the Gideons distributed more than 250,000 copies of the Word of God every 24 hours to men, women, boys, and girls around the world because of people like yourself, people that cared enough about someone to simply provide them with a copy of the Word of God. You see, God's Word will not return unto him void, and God's Word will prosper wherever it's sent. And if the Lord should lay upon your heart to help the Gideons in any way that I mentioned, I'm sure that the Lord would richly bless you. The people that receive a copy of God's Word, they would be eternally grateful to you. And I'm also grateful to you for the opportunity to be able to come and share with you concerning the Gideon ministry. I thank you very much.
Ken, thank you so much. They're so grateful you came. They're leaving at 11:30. I want to share with you, you know, the Word of God is two, I believe is two ways it comes. One is the spoken, I mean the written Word, and you and I are His words, that the world sees Christ through us. I want to share something with you, ask you to keep me in your prayers, that the Lord has opened some doors up for me as your pastor within our community. One, this past spring, I've been able to coach at the high school track team. I'm a distance coach, but they need a jumper, and I'm learning things about jumping. This was a paid position, and when I took the position, I informed that I would not take pay because this is a ministry of the Free Grace Church to the school system. Also, tomorrow night, I leave for every night to Camp Hebron for the elementary camp that they have there that they need it. Please pray for me. They needed men who've been through the clearances to be there just at night. And also have a chance to speak at baccalaureate this year. But this is not a thing of me. This is your pastor. And it's extension of this church proclaiming the word of God through the way it reaches out. Ken, thank you again. That when people have the word in front of them, and then when they see the word being lived out through you and me, lives are transformed. Trudy, would you come and lead us in our closing song? And as she comes, let us all stand.
Make me a blessing, number 292. Make me a blessing.
Thank you.